Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. Small business owners have a lot to deal with when getting a new business up and running or making sure their existing business is running smoothly. Unfortunately, today's small business owners have to be extra vigilant when it comes to scams. When scammers target your organization, it can hurt your reputation and your bottom line. The Better Business Bureau and the Federal Trade Commission have joined forces to help business owners know what to look out for and what to do if they are the victim of a scam. Joining us today is Lois Greisman, Associate Director in the Division of Marketing Practices for the FTC. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
And we also have Mel Trumpauer, Director of Programs and Operations for the Better Business Bureau Institute. Mel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with you, Lois, if I may. Tell us about how this came about. Why is this an area of focus for the FTC, and how big is the problem for small businesses?
Thank you very much. Well, today we announced Operation Main Street, which is both a joint law enforcement action with our state and federal partners, and also we announced a joint collaboration with the Better Business Bureau to push out an educational message to small businesses. It's a significant issue. Small businesses are a vital part of the U.S. economy. The Small Business Administration estimates that nearly 30 million small businesses are in the United States, employing about half of the employees in the private sector. Small businesses each year create about 2 out of 3 new jobs each year. So that gives you a sense of just how vital they are to the economy and how they're drivers of innovation.
Yeah. And so oftentimes with breaches, fraud, scams, you hear about the big ones with really big companies because they get a lot of press. But a lot of these smaller businesses are also clearly victims and can be scammed.
Yes, that's right, and that's why it's so important that small businesses complain to the Better Business Bureau and to the FTC when they are defrauded.
And to back up just briefly, Operation Main Street, as you said, is a much bigger initiative.
Yes, it's a law enforcement collaboration with, including the FTC, with 11 state and federal law enforcement partners. And as part of that initiative, we're also announcing a collaboration with the Better Business Bureau to push out a very targeted educational message through a guide for small businesses that the FTC has developed.
Okay. And Mel, the BBB and the FTC have worked together over the years. This one seemed, again, like a natural fit for collaboration.
Yeah, it certainly was. The Better Business Bureau has had a long relationship with the FTC. We share data with them for the Consumer Sentinel Network. We refer cases to them. We assist with investigations whenever we can. And we meet regularly to talk with their consumer and business education team to discuss issues of mutual interest, which is how this initiative came about. Okay. Both organizations are very interested in small business scams, so we're very excited about this collaboration.
Right, and in obviously hosting this show for the Better Business Bureau, this is an important topic that's come up a fair amount. We haven't sat down to discuss it with the FTC, so we'll get into it. We all deal with scam phone calls and emails, but are some scammers specifically targeting small businesses? Sounds like they are.
Yes, and they have for a long time. There are some scams that are specifically targeted only at small businesses, like fake directory ads or phony invoice scams and so forth. We believe some scammers are specifically targeting newer small businesses who are getting set up and are excited to get their first customers. They're trying to establish their reputation, so they're more vulnerable. With more than 35 million small businesses in North America, they're a prime target because they're typically very busy with smaller staffs. And they're in the business of talking to strangers. So unlike consumers who cannot answer the phone if they don't recognize a phone number, businesses don't have the luxury of doing that. They have to pick up the phone because it's a potential customer. So it's a very important topic. We're thrilled to be partnering with the FTC.
Hey, that's a really good point that you do have to pick up the phone. You can't just let it go to voicemail. I mean, you could, but it might hurt your business. And you've also got not just maybe one or two or a family of people living at home, but you've got employees who are picking up the phone too and have to know what's going on. Lois, can you tell us about some of the specific tactics and scams that are targeting small businesses? Mel mentioned the fake invoice scam. Maybe we can hear more about that and some others.
Yes. Unfortunately, there's no shortage of ways in which scammers operate. They can mail you, literally put in the mail, a fake invoice. They can deliver unordered merchandise. And I want to be clear, if a small business receives unordered merchandise, it's yours. It's a gift. You don't have to pay for it. Mel mentioned fake invoices and also unordered merchandises, but there are a variety of other ways. Sometimes they'll create a sense of urgency, almost create a dire situation. For example, a phone call that's received by a restaurant during the lunch hour indicating you didn't pay your water bill. We're about to shut your water off unless you wire transfer money to us. So we see both use of the mail, use of the telephone, and any other variety of means designed to dupe the small business into thinking, I'm dealing with my utility or I'm dealing with the government. If I don't renew the license right now, I could be cut off.
So before they know it, in the midst of a busy rush hour or lunch hour, they might have given out maybe an account number or something that they shouldn't have shared.
That's exactly right.
Unordered merchandise. So scammers are actually delivering boxes of merchandise that a company or a business hasn't ordered. It's not theirs.
Yes, that's right. What we see are oftentimes toner is delivered for printers, or what we refer to as bags and bulbs. These are garbage bags or light bulbs that are simply not ordered. Think about any type of office supplies that are used in the regular course of business. You can see how a delivery comes, it's received, it comes with an invoice. It is the type of supplies the business uses, and unfortunately, they pay for it when they don't have to.
So how are the scammers making money on that? They've paid, obviously, to send a bunch of light bulbs, but are they invoicing over and above what it would normally cost? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
The quality is abysmal, typically what we've seen in those cases.
Right.
They're paying pennies for what they're charging you.
Okay. So it's worth it to them because they're mailing out a bunch of these unordered boxes and then they're making a lot of money on it.
Yes. And you raise an interesting point about these types of scams, that oftentimes, though the scammer may just place a telephone call saying you owe money, you didn't pay your water bill, and that's a low-cost scam to perpetrate,
yep,
as opposed to actually creating a fake invoice or even going the next step and sending actual merchandise that they've purchased, they've boxed, they've put in the mail.
Is there a way to protect on the unordered merchandise with the companies that are then, I mean they don't care, I guess. They get an order for merchandise. They're going to deliver it wherever it's ordered to, I suppose.
Yes.
And whether it's through Amazon or whatever.
Yes, and often it's just the U.S. mail.
Right.
It's right. Scammers like to deliver as cheaply as possible.
Right. So, yeah, and that gives you a sense of the size of an operation. They're not mailing out light bulbs or garbage bags or toner to a handful of businesses. It's a whole lot in some cases, I would imagine.
Yes, and picking up on Mel's point, a lot of these are targeted against small businesses.
Do they collect payment on delivery? So no, because it's coming through the mail. So they're just sending an invoice, and then supposedly somebody would pay that online or pay
online or issue a check.
Right. So they're not in person. They just get the money.
And in some of the more outrageous scams we've seen, where they're creating a sense of urgency, sometimes a small business will be told to go wire transfer money,
okay,
or even go buy a gift card and
right,
pay by iTunes or Amazon. And those should be instant red flags to any small business.
Right. Okay. So armed with this knowledge of what scammers are doing, or at least a brief overview of some of the scams they're doing, what can business owners do to protect themselves, their employees, and their businesses? Lois, maybe give us a sense of the actual process of making sure this doesn't happen to you.
Train.
Yeah.
Make sure you yourself, the head of the small business, knows exactly what's going on and what scams to be on the alert for. And also train your employees. There's just no substitute for it. Talk to them about fake invoices. Talk to them about unordered merchandise. Talk to them about pop-ups that appear telling them, this is part of a technical support scam, that your computer is in dire need of repair. It's about to explode unless you allow remote access. And invariably you're told, yes, your computer is infected, but we can tell you how to fix it for just a couple of $100. So there's no substitute at all for training. Also, the FTC has issued a business guide for small businesses. You can get it at ftc.gov/smallbusiness. And we've partnered with the Better Business Bureau to make sure it is as widely disseminated as possible.
Okay. So train employees, use this guide. It will help. It leads you through the steps of how to train, or at least get you on the road to training employees.
Yes, it gives you specific examples of the types of scams that we've seen targeting small businesses.
Okay. Verify invoices, be tech savvy. And that sense of urgency that you mentioned earlier, I think we should underscore how important that is, that scammers use that all the time. So if it's that busy lunch hour that you mentioned or whatever it is, you can always slow things down, call the bank, and take care of things on your own.
Call the bank, call the utility. They will spoof phone numbers, so it will look as if it's coming from the bank. The call is coming from the bank. The call is coming from the utility. You've got to create that speed bump before somebody rushes to pay a scammer.
Okay. Mel, any additional thoughts on being protecting your own business?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is that consumers and businesses should train themselves and their employees to just stop, you know, and don't feel this urge to, you know, do something quickly without doing the due diligence, to sort of do the research, do a quick Google search, you know, go to BBB.org to check out a business or a potential vendor. Just that will help you avoid a lot of scams, is to just control yourself and not to fall prey to these sort of urgent requests or these intimidations that scammers will do. Is just take your time, train your employees to take a moment and not feel that they have to react right away.
And to back up too, when we talk about small businesses, we're talking about what size company, how many employees generally?
It can vary enormously, anywhere from 1 to 100 or even several hundred.
Okay. So even if you've got a company bigger than that, and obviously then much bigger, similar scams are going on with those companies, I imagine. Maybe just more light bulbs are being delivered.
That's absolutely right. I mean, there is – scammers are opportunistic. What they want is money. And if they can get it from an operation of 5 people, that's fine. If they can get it from an operation of 500 people, that's equally fine.
Any other final thoughts on any other scams that you've heard of that you could share? We mentioned the invoices, the products, that the phone calls. Those are all not so typical. I mean, it sounds like they're getting more typical, but anything else that a business can look out for?
Well, there's fake check scams, which are used for a lot of different types of scams. That's a common tactic among a lot of different scams, which is basically taking a check and putting it into the bank, and then the person asks you sometimes to wire money, and you don't realize it's a fake check until after you've, you know, wired money to that person. So that's a common tactic. Utility scams, we've mentioned, that's a common tactic.
So a customer would write a fake check?
A customer, a vendor.
A vendor, okay.
A vendor, yep. is a big one, yeah.
Right. And you've put that in the bank, and then all of a sudden you've wired the money, and there was no...
Yeah, a lot of times
that's your problem.
Yeah, it's an overpayment. A lot of times they'll give you a check and say, we've overpaid you. Can you wire back this much money? Knowing that once it takes a few days for the bank to tell you that it's a bad check.
And there are a couple of other ones that I think it's worth highlighting. What we've seen in some of our cases is the scammer will call or will email and indicate, I can improve the search engine that will bring you to the top of the list. This is a search engine optimization. And in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that, except when they're promising you that they're going to do something and they don't do it and they extract money from you. Or sometimes we've seen scammers contact a small business and say, I can ensure there are no fake reviews online about you. Just pay this amount of money. One last type that I'd like to highlight is oftentimes small businesses are finding ways to reduce costs, especially to reduce their credit card processing costs. Mm-hmm. And they will enter into leases for equipment that are really scams. The cost structure is not properly disclosed to them, and they're unaware that they're actually paying a small fortune for something that they can get at a much better value.
So do your research, vigilance, train, all of these things.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks again to Lois Greisman, Associate Director in the Division of Marketing Practices for the FTC, and Mel Trumpauer, Director of Programs and Operations for the Better Business Bureau Institute. Where can people go for more information and to get the guide?
Thank you. This is really important stuff, and we urge people to go to ftc.gov/smallbusiness. There's a wealth of information on that webpage.
Okay.
And same for the Better Business Bureau. If you go to bbb.org/smallbizscams, you can see our research and you can get information on educational information for small businesses.
Okay. All right. Be careful out there, everyone. If you'd like to learn more about the BBB, visit us at bbb.org for the Better Business, Better Series podcast. I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.